Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Sage Colleges will host the 12th Public History Conference on the Underground Railroad Movement. The conference is entitled Milestones. It's got a long title, so just get ready. I'm going to read it all, but it's good. Milestones on the Road to Freedom, the Emancipation Proclamation, Harriet Tubman, and the March on Washington, A Legacy and a Future. It is organized by the Underground Railroad History Project of the Capital Region Incorporated and co-sponsored by the Sage Colleges and the Department of History and Society at Russell Sage College. Here to tell us more about it are Mary Liz Stewart and Paul Stewart, co-founders and directors of the Underground Railroad History Project of the Capital Region and conference organizers. And Scotness,
yeah.
Professor and chair of the Sage Department of History and Society, event organizer and conference keynote speaker, and it is a delight to have this great trio before us. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
It's a delight to be here.
All right, so let us begin with Mary and Paul of how this came about.
Well, in a nutshell, what we were doing was engaging over 10 years ago in a personal research project. I was hoping to better educate myself, to do a better job teaching my students in the classroom. Paul was writing for a community newspaper and hoped to be able to inform more fully the work that he was doing there. Our interest took us into the topic of Underground Railroad, and we wondered what kind of local history might we find related to this period in our state and nation's history. And as we began our research, we found that, in fact, the historic documents that we were uncovering were telling something of a different story than what usually gets marshaled out when one hears Underground Railroad.
Such as?
Well,
for instance, there was a handbill that was published in 1856-7 that told a lot about what was happening here locally on the Underground Railroad, who the people were who were involved, what some of the activities were, how many people were coming through the community. And this was something that, by and large, wasn't presented when people talked about the Underground Railroad. You know, they like to talk about certainly stories of Harriet Tubman, maybe Frederick Douglass, and not so much focusing on what was really happening on the ground right here in the Capital Region. So that's one of the kinds of things. There are probably lots of other examples that we certainly could give in that regard.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to putting an event like this together, of sort of putting it into a context, how do you do that?
Into a context in terms of the
for
theme?
People, a theme and something that people can understand and that you as a group can explore.
Well, generally, what our project is about education. And, of course, our focus is the Underground Railroad in the antebellum days. But we also are much broader in our education. We're interested in teaching and learning history and teaching and learning about anti-racism and the struggle against racism. So, for example, the conference we have now, we will have keynote speakers, we'll have music, we'll have a whole variety of events. But we have the overriding theme that you mentioned, and if you look at the theme we have, it mentions the Emancipation Proclamation. It mentions Harriet Tubman, who died 100 years ago. It mentions the March on Washington 50 years ago. So while the conference is going to be about the Underground Railroad in the narrow sense, it's all also about the legacy, about Harriet Tubman's long life, about the Emancipation Proclamation, and in fact about the Civil Rights Movement. So that's the kind of context we use. We focus in the antebellum period, but we look broadly in terms of the freedom movement and the struggle against racism.
Let me focus in on the Emancipation Proclamation for a moment, because on Saturday the 13th, you will be giving a morning keynote, The Importance or Non-Importance of the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863 and Today. So let's look at the importance first and then talk about the non-importance.
Well, the importance is that it was a watershed. It changed the war aims for the Union. Prior to the Emancipation Proclamation and the events leading up to it, the Union's position, Lincoln's position, was that they were fighting for the Union. And Lincoln was explicit up until about this time that the South could come back in and keep slavery. With the Emancipation Proclamation, which declares all people enslaved in the territories in rebellion, the war aims changed. Now it became a war against slavery. And the abolitionists, people like Frederick Douglass, were always aware that this was going to happen. Even though initially the Republicans were saying we're not fighting to free the slaves and so forth, they were aware at some point the war would have to move to be a war for the emancipation. And in fact, at that point, it did.
And when you, and if there's a message you want to get across, it's what?
In terms of the Emancipation Proclamation?
Yes. Well, in terms of your keynote.
Well, actually, two things. One is that it's not what a lot of people think. Lincoln really didn't free the slaves. I mean, Lincoln didn't free the slaves anyway. More than anybody else, the slaves and their allies freed the slave through the long struggle against slavery and then through the fighting of many, many black soldiers during the Civil War. But Lincoln didn't free the slaves even at the point of the Emancipation Proclamation, because you'll note that what the Emancipation Proclamation says is that those slaves residing in territories that are in rebellion are free. That didn't include the slaves in Maryland. It didn't include slaves that were in the border states that were still part of the Union. So it's not exactly this great emancipatory moment. And the vision of Lincoln as the father freeing the slaves is really quite inaccurate. Nonetheless, it's terribly important because it caused a kind of shift that made liberation of the slaves inevitable.
So our perception of Lincoln's role in this should be what, in your opinion?
Lincoln was who he was. He was a great president. He was a very political man. He was a man who evolved over time. He was not, however, an abolitionist. Almost to his death, he thought the best solution for the race problem in the United States was for the freed slaves to go back to Africa. While he was personally against slavery, he resisted the tendencies in the Republican Party that wanted to make it an anti-slavery organization. Nonetheless, he was a man of integrity, and he was a man who personally was against slavery. And he sort of like Franklin Roosevelt, he responded well to the logic of events and to the pressures put on him.
Just a reminder that we're talking about the Sage Colleges hosting the 12th Public History Conference on the Underground Railroad Movement. It is entitled Milestones on the Road to Freedom, the Emancipation Proclamation, Harriet Tubman, and the March in Washington, A Legacy and a Future. It takes place this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I think when you talk about this, Paul Stewart and Mary Lou Stewart, it is fascinating because you can have 12 of these seminars, you can talk for days and still not even scratch the surface. There's so much, and yet so much we also don't know, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of question marks out there as well.
There's certainly a lot of question marks, but there's a great deal of information that's very present, you know, that we can uncover and examine and look at and learn a great deal about. One of the elements that's important in local story in the Capital Region, of course, is the story of Stephen and Harriet Myers. And over the years, in our efforts to tell that story and articulate that story, we've been fortunate to see the naming of a middle school after Stephen and Harriet Myers, and we've been fortunate to be able to have identified the Stephen and Harriet Myers residence, which is a building that we are restoring over on Livingston Avenue in Albany. So there are some features, some elements that are very present that we can see and tangible.
And I think the conference has become a venue for bringing forward new researched information. We didn't start out with that expectation, but it has become a place where people conducting research in other parts of the country and other parts of the world can come to be heard within a public setting context. And that component was very important to us from the beginning of the organization of this event, in that it was intended to be and continues to be an occasion when humanities scholarship can join together with the public to be able to engage in the continued learning, much of which I'm sorry to say, does not take place in many of our school settings, unless perhaps you happen to be in Andor Scottness's classroom.
Yeah.
There've been a lot of limitations placed on what parts of this story get marshaled forward, and so we really have educationally, I think, we have reduced this history to small sound bites that have really allowed us to dismiss its significance.
I actually wanted to explore that a little bit, and Andor will begin with you, of why you think that is the case, of why we have taken this chunk of history and sort of put the round peg in a square hole, if you will.
Well, it's an interesting thing. The Underground Railroad is a kind of myth in the capital region. You know, when I first moved here some years ago, I very early started running into people who claimed they knew of houses near them that were on the Underground Railroad. It is kind of this popular myth. It's something that people know about, they think is a part of the area to a rather large extent. I think that's why we have a kind of resonance with our project. On the other hand, as Paul and Mary Liz have been saying, the stories that get told about the Underground Railroad tend to be very narrow, very mythologized, and focus on a very few people. Why is that? I don't know. It's the way history becomes mythologized in this country. And in some way, it gets reduced. It's made much safer. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we want to do is we want to put the Underground Railroad in the context of the long international freedom struggle, actually. And so when we talk about Harriet Tubman, who certainly is somebody good to talk about, we also talk about the people who are not known, like the Myers. But we also talk about the civil rights movement or the Black Power movement or, you know, the struggle in the post-Civil War period, and expand people's horizons rather than sort of repeating the myths that people are comfortable with.
I find that people have really mythologized a lot of history. There are so many subjects that when you talk about them, kind of the way that you received that story in school, you received just a little bit of a framework about it and a little bit of information. And the part of the story that is good, that is interesting, that is exciting, you never get to get into. And so that's certainly true with this story about the Underground Railroad.
I would like to add as well the notion of relevancy of the history, and I do think that has become a very important component of how Underground Railroad History Project deals with this history, the engaging with, discussing, investigating the relevancy of this history with us today and how it informs us as we move forward into the future. And I do think that also has been a serious lack when addressing history within an educational setting. It becomes something back behind us. And while those who are really immersed in history may be well aware of and thinking about its relevancy, that's not always brought into the educational setting.
Yeah, you don't get to see how it influences where we are today.
Absolutely.
And it gives today meaning.
Absolutely.
So over the 12 years, what have you learned about holding these conferences and including academics and the public and bringing it all together, if you will?
Ooh, that's a tough question to narrow down. Something
I find that it's really challenging. You know, you might say in your mind, well, gosh, you know, if we get together a conference and have some speakers and workshops and get some noted speakers, that this is really going to help change the way people think about this subject. And it does help some people. It is meaningful for the people that participate in the program. But there are lots of people out there who say, oh yeah, Underground Railroad, I know what that is. That's that secret spot in the basement somewhere. And they never change their mind. They never hear the story about, you know, where people lived and worked and did what they did here in the Capital Region or wherever. They never listen to stories about individual people who were part of the Underground Railroad. You know, we think about it as being secret when in fact there's lots of information, whether it's books or, you know, pamphlets, things like that from the period, testimonies from people who were involved, and listen to those stories and let those stories tell us what the Underground Railroad was. You know,
And I think picking up on what you're saying, Paul, makes me think about an answer to your question, Joe, which is that I have learned that the conference is not enough. It's a great occasion for people who are motivated and have the time to be able to gather together.
Right.
But what I and organizationally we have also realized is that we need to do more. And so there are a number of other initiatives that have been embraced by Underground Railroad History Project to continue bringing this new history, this new look at a very old story out to the public. So there are public presentations that are given, tabling at community events. We have programming that's held at the Stephen and Harriet Myers residence on a scheduled basis. We have a young abolitionist youth program that has now become an ongoing component of who we are and what we do, working with teens to help them to come to understand and engage this history, which they actually did in a very exciting way during a program last summer. And now we have a teen program that continues throughout the year. Certainly, you know, the newsletter piece and what else do we do? We've realized public presentations.
Yep.
And so,
we've
realized that there are many other ways to share this information besides just the annual event, the conference.
And Andrew Scottness, who is as professor and chair of SAGE's Department of History and Society, I ask you the question of, are you optimistic that we can change that perception and that the history will become more more accurate and concrete as we move forward?
It's an ongoing struggle. Generally, it's an ongoing struggle. You know that prior to the civil rights and black power movements, the years before that, virtually no black history was being taught in schools or in colleges, actually. And it was those great struggles which changed things. They changed the scholarship. They changed attention to the history. They changed the questions that were raised. And it went throughout the school system. Now, it's not a wonderful situation now. But African-American history is a part of people's world, whether you're black or white or another group, much more than it was before the movement. So in a certain sense, what we're doing is we're carrying on a struggle that's related to that movement, which is an ongoing movement, in education. I see it as this kind of contest to change people's minds, to give people more knowledge about things like the long struggle against racism and the role of the Underground Railroad. And am I optimistic? Yeah, I'm optimistic. I don't think there's going to be some sort of breakthrough where everybody understands. But what I see in my classes, what I see at our conferences and so forth, is people who are coming to new understandings. And we really urge people to make these understandings something they act on in their lives, one way or another. So in that sense, we're kind of an activist organization.
Use your classes as a microcosm of the challenge that you have in getting that message across and what ultimately carries the student through to understanding.
Huh. Well, I think something Paul was saying is important. You know, there are levels of understanding. I think analysis and overall understanding is very important.
Absolutely.
Explaining. But I also think the personal stories and even the personal testimony is something that really engages students.
Because we relate to that. Mm-hmm.
They relate to it. So the concrete stories of local people who were involved in abolitionism, for example, is something that really connects to them.
I would definitely echo that response in that I'm thinking about the presentations or the conversations that Paul and I have had in public settings with historical societies, teen groups, whatever the group may be. And what always brings forward a clear physical change in response from the audience is when we start bringing forward the local people related to the geographic location in which we are giving this presentation. People sit up, their facial expressions change, that the whole sense of engagement becomes so evident because we're talking about people who walked and lived where they currently walk and live. People who, by virtue of space and geography, are more touchable than the icons that usually get marshaled forward when we talk about Underground Railroad history, for instance. So we have people who are very much like us, local folks. You know, we're not the great icons, but we're people doing something that we're dedicated to on a day-to-day basis. And as the Stephen and Harriet Myers and William Henry Johnson and
Thomas Elkins
and so on, you know, as all of these people are identified, they become touchable and allow us to be able to relate more concretely with that history and its relevance.
And why this conference is so important. The 12th Public History Conference on the Underground Railroad Movement, organized by the Underground Railroad History Project of the Capital Region and co-sponsored by the Sage Colleges and the Department of History and Society, takes place at Russell Sage College this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's the 12th, 13th, and 14th. You can learn more information by going to undergroundrailroadhistory.org. Paul mentioned the website. That's it. undergroundrailroadhistory.org. You can also call this phone number, 518-432-4432. 518-432-4432. Or again, undergroundrailroadhistory.org. Mary Liz Stewart, Paul Stewart, and Andor Skutnis, I thank you very much for being with us, and I wish you all the luck in the world this weekend.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you.
Thanks much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.